Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Choose personalised pricing. It's made for you.
Murray Lavery joins us once again. Murray, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. I wonder, has Michael Healy-Ray got a light on his bike? Whatever about a bell.
Well, he's nothing on his bike now because he left it outside the passport office unlocked and then came out and it was gone.
Here in Dublin, was it?
Here in Dublin, yeah.
Oh, right. So yeah. He brings the bike up on the train from Kerry.
Well, I think he has it permanently in Dublin now. Right. He was saying he bought it when his father was alive. He bought it in Kerry years ago.
Right.
He just used it for scooting around the place.
But there you go.
Now it's gone. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, what is Food Harvest 2020? Explain what it is.
What it actually is the target set for the exports in value and volume terms of food from this island or from Ireland to markets all over the world. So it's like, you know, you say, you know, you're going to try and, you know, I don't know, walk 5 kilometres every day or do 10,000 steps. Mm. Well, have you reached it? Are you able to do it? Where have the difficulties been? What's happened? So they would have set these targets back, as I said, about 10 years ago. And what they've now shown is that with the figures that have come out at the end of 2017, is that not only have we reached the targets, we've beaten them, and we've beaten them basically 3 years ahead of ourselves.
Okay, that's great.
So, I mean, that's really good news because it means that, it's good news because it means there's more happening on the agri front, and the value of exports is an important indicator because we have to export so much of what we produce. I think we can feed something like 34 million people if they were all lined up end to end and you had to give them dinner every day. So we can feed an awful lot more people than we have on the island. So, you know, it's exports that really matter. And you could say, like, sure, what if you only export 10 billion? Isn't that fine? But, you know, to grow the business, to grow the relevance of the business as well, and to grow the value of it is really critical. So the target that was set was 12 billion. And we've reached 12.29 billion as of the end of March, or end of 2017. So, you know, not insignificant because we've all 2018, all 2019 and 20 to go yet. So what's been interesting, though, is that it's not volume. So it's not all the extra milk that we're producing or the extra pigs or the extra sheep that we're producing. It's the value of the produce that's gone up really significantly. And that's also key because it means our produce is more relevant to the market. It's getting a better price in the marketplace. There's more probably value added to it. So what we're selling now, it's not like, you know, animals on the hoof to wherever, or product that is barely, you know, just nearly in its raw form. There's been value being added to it. So when you look at the dairy sector, the gain there, the value of dairy exports, 79% higher in 2017 than they were in 2010. 79% higher. That's nearly a doubling. So that's the value. The volume exports were only up 32%. So that's kind of, you know, the difference between them. It's the same with beef, 50% value increase, 20% volume increase. Sheep, it was a 90% in value, which was quite significant. And it was a 94% in 74% in volume. Mm. Now, we would always have had a strong export market to France. And that market is coming back. I think, you know, the sheep numbers are up in the country, so they're having to be exported anyway. But it's good to see those figures there. Pigs also up. Pigs, massive increase, 125% increase in that 7-year period. And the volume was up 92%. Outside of that then, seafood is a big, big seller. We've had a massive 454% increase in that sales of fish, seafood, and in beverages, whiskey, gins, all the new beers, all of that sort of stuff, the volume has gone up 436%. So the target now for the next one, which is Foodwise 25. So because you don't end up, you know, if you end up meeting a set of targets, they put another lot out there for you.
Of course they do. That's the point.
You know that,
yeah.
Yeah. So the target there is 19 billion for 2025. Now that compares with 12.29 billion to date. So you're only talking about, what's that, 12.29 billion? 7 billion, less than 7 billion, six and a half billion worth to collect in the next 5, 6, 7, nearly 8 years. So it looks achievable, and it's the targets now being set for to grow the sector.
But also, because there seems to be like the amount that they export and then what they get for that. So it's contingent to some degree on what the prices for things are.
The prices are, yeah. So if you're selling, higher value product, then you will get better money for that, and the value of the good coming back in is so much better. Like, for instance, now one of the big things in the dairy in the last year or so, or the last 18 months, has been the price of butter. I mean, butter has literally gone through the clouds in terms of how much, the processors are getting for it. So, I mean, that feeds back in, and that feeds then into the figures that the value is up. So also, being able to sell prime cuts of beef as well, as opposed to just maybe straight cuts, better volume or value, or the value of those are higher. So but anyway, look at the targets were set. Was set at 12 billion for 2020. It's been surpassed already. Nearly 3 years out.
All good news. And so you were judging this week.
I was down in Enniscorthy, and the fair dues to the Enniscorthy municipal district, the council down there. They have been running this competition for the last 10 years. So basically, the farmers markets that are held all around the country. And we've got a resurgence of them in the last 15 years. And an awful lot of places got their market re-established because they were going to lose the rights for a market there a couple of years back. And so, they're great places because people get a chance at a very low cost level to test their food produce or whatever it is they're making or preserving or, fast cooking or whatever it is, to get a chance to try it on the consumer. Now, it's not as if, you need they do maybe need, to kind of brush up on their tastings and all the rest of it. So instead of kind of having to get into a supermarket to sell your produce, you can actually get a stall in a farmer's market and you can set up. And, there's a waiting list on a lot of them because they don't want too many people making preserves or too many people doing cupcakes.
Yeah.
So there's one in there and that's the one that gets the business. So the national competition for the All-Ireland Best Stand took place down in Enniscorthy, where they were also, by the way, up to their neck on Vinegar Hill, reenacting 1798. Right. The Wexford people absolutely love reenacting 1978 or 1798. So it was another anniversary of it because it was an 8 in the thing. But it's great actually to see it. It really is. If you haven't been there now, it's very good fun. So I was anyway up to my neck with my fellow judges looking at the different stands that were there. And the winning stand was a fruit and vegetable stand. And it was manned and operated solo by young Alex Fortune, who was 13 years of age.
My God.
Now, this is one young fellow who won't be saying to his mammy and daddy this summer, "I'm bored." There's not a chance of it. Not a chance of it. I have rarely seen in the one youngster a combination of sheer interest and intelligence about what he was doing. His understanding of the growing process for everything that he was producing. His understanding of the varieties that he was producing and why they were good. Where they were grown, nearly to the field, he'll tell you where everything that was.
Because that's the difference when you're going to a stand as opposed to a supermarket. You want to hear about that.
He could tell you everything, where Uncle Billy or whatever his name was had the strawberries up here and this ground and that ground. And then they were growing their own garlic as well. And then combine the knowledge and the enthusiasm with an ability to sell. And to do deals and to give you the 2 for 1 or the 3 for whatever it is, the price of 2. He cleared his stand. He was outstanding. And it's lovely to see these youngsters.
Gosh, and that is impressive.
Yeah, but one of the things about, youngsters on farms, they get this opportunity to be able to, sell eggs, sell ducks, rear turkeys for Christmas, sell timber. Grow something. Like, there's nothing to stop anyone who's on from a farming background here and have access to a bit of land, or anybody with a back garden, to get your 12-year-old grown strawberries or something like that, or raspberry canes, and selling them outside the front door, or making lemonade, or going out and getting the elderflowers. The ability to make money, because they have the facilities and they have the space. But this young fella just totally, we judged him separately, and every one of us came back with the same view. I mean, what he knew about his produce His understanding of it. He's not defense of it, but he's the way he's, you know, he explained it.
Told its story.
And the day before he'd been there. Now the family are very commercial, fruit and vegetable growers down in Wexford, and he was explaining that the day before himself and his sister and uncle had transplanted 26,000 plugs. So these are, you know, when you plant a little seed and the little tiny thing comes up. Well, he was going the next stage with it, but they did 26,000 of them. So he's not just a youngster at 13 years of age who absolutely enjoys the cut and thrust of being in front of the customer. He's doing the hard work in the background as well.
Well, God, he's only 13. Where will he be in 10 years' time? He'll be running the place. Mairead Lavery, thanks a million for coming into us.
Alex,
you heard it here first. Yes, he'll be Taoiseach probably by the time he's 20. Back in a couple of minutes.